Colossians 2:9, and while you're turning there, I want to tell you I'm going to start a new series on Sunday night. On Wednesday night, in case you don't know it, we're teaching through the book of Revelation, all the way through the book of Revelation. And so come on Wednesday night, but on Sunday night, I thought this year would be a good year to do it. I'm going to start 2 weeks before Christmas, and I'm going to teach on the life of Christ, a series on Christ, where He came from, what He did. And the first sermon will be the pre-incarnate Christ. That's something a lot of people don't know about. Did you know that Jesus was alive before He was ever put in a human body? That's what made Him God. And so I'm going to teach on that. Y'all need to come. Then another one would be the childhood of Christ. How many times you've heard about that? Very seldom. And, of course, the raising of the dead, you know, and the Last Supper and all those things. But it's about 17 sermons, so it's going to take many Sunday nights. So y'all come, and I'm going to go from before He was born until after His death, burial, and resurrection, what He's doing right now. So y'all come, okay? Colossians 2:9, if you got it, say amen. All right, verse 9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Him dwelleth all the fullness. That's all God. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, Jesus is more than you thought. Jesus is more than most people. Jesus is more than most Christians think. And our verse tells us that. It says, in Him dwelleth, look at it, all the Godhead. That means when Jesus said, "You seen me, you seen the Father." He said, "I and the Father are one." So you say, well, some sinner says, "Show me God." I say, "Look at Jesus, you'll see God." Amen. Amen. But you know, He's even more than we ever imagined. When we first hear and we receive the gospel, most of the time we're overwhelmed. We're just overwhelmed. And by the thought of all of this stuff, our mind can't comprehend it. Because when I first got saved, all of a sudden I had joy and I had peace and I had the victory. And all of a sudden I had excitement and I had something down in my soul. For one time in my life, I could feel myself alive because I'd been born again. And listen, I was overwhelmed by that. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't go to Sunday school. Nobody ever invited us to Vacation Bible School. We didn't know what Christian camp was. And boy, March the 5th, 1978, happy day. When I walked down that aisle and that fellow took me in that room and I received Jesus Christ into my heart and in my life, I was overwhelmed. Man, the sky was bluer. Those little puffy clouds were whiter. The trees, I could even hug the tree, man. I was so happy. I loved everybody. All of a sudden, I loved everybody. I couldn't find anything wrong with anybody. I'd been born again. I wasn't looking for anything wrong with anybody anymore. Amen. I wasn't trying to judge myself by others. God had judged me and paid for my sins on the cross, and I had the victory, and I was overwhelmed. And for about a year or 6 months, that's all I could think about. I don't know about you when you got saved, but boy, like the song says, He reached way down and got me, and it was overwhelming in my life. I didn't mean to be, but I went back to work and they started calling me deacon. And then after that, they started calling me preacher. And they said, "Oh, hippie got religion. He's going to church. He's reading his Bible on the job. He's talking about the Lord all the time. He ain't cussing. He's not telling those old dirty jokes anymore. There's something different about that guy." It overwhelmed me. And if you ever get born again, it'll overwhelm you too. I didn't just go down and say a little prayer. I didn't just sign a card. I didn't just join the church. I didn't even join the church that night. I didn't even know what joining. I thought when you got saved, you was automatically a part of the church. I didn't know what baptism was. Went a few Sunday nights later and the preacher said, "We baptized tonight, you getting baptized?" I said, "I don't know what all that is, but am I supposed to?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "All right, I'll do it." "Did you bring a change of clothes?" "I'll get baptized what I got on. Let's do it." I mean, man, it was a new birth and I was overwhelmed and it was all I could think about. But then as I began to read the Bible and I studied the Word and I got to know Jesus personally, I realized there's a lot more to it. And it gets gooder and gooder all the time. Amen? I know it's better and better, but I'm talking to you, so I have to say it that way. But listen, it gets gooder and gooder. Now, I'm telling you, there's so much more to being saved than just being saved. And there's several stages of change and growth I want to show you today real quick. I don't have much time. There's three changes. There's three stages in the Christian relationship with Jesus Christ. Number one, turn to Galatians 3:3. Galatians 3:3. Most of you already know it, but turn there. And then I want you to mark it in your Bible. Galatians 3:3. When you get there, say amen, somebody. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Now, he says now we've got the Spirit and we've begun in the Spirit and we realize that Christ is for us. That's the first stage. Christ for us. That day, the Spirit of God, when He came into you, He made you realize that God didn't hate you. God wasn't out to throw you into a devil's hell. It wasn't even made for you. And God so loved you, He gave His Son so you could be saved. And so you, the first stage is you realize that God is for us, taking our place, bearing our sin on the cross, taking our beating. The wages of sin is death. He took our beating. He took our death on that cross. And then realizing that the suffering for that penalty, we no longer have to pay. He paid it all. Amen? We sing that song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen? So that was the first stage. We realized that now Christ is for us. And you can't get it till you get to that part. That's the first stage you're going to have to get to. You got to realize that God doesn't hate you. God loves you. You've got to realize that He loved you so much that He in a human body paid your sin debt so you could go free. And you've got to realize that that salvation is 100% paid for. All you have to do is receive the forgiveness and the payment of sin. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Now, that's a must. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I got a lot of scripture here, and I'm challenged to read it all. I know I won't get to. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In verse 21, it says, "For He had made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made." Look at this. The righteousness of God in Him. Now, that's the first step of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You realize that Christ is for you. He paid your sin debt. It's free. All you've got to do is accept the love of a holy God. And you have to receive that. You turn from your trying to work your way to heaven. And you turn to Him to pay your sin debt so you can go to heaven. Now, let me tell you something. That day I received that. That made me born again. That's the first step. I realized God loved me. And I'd never known that. I never knew the love of a man. I never knew the love of a father. I never even knew the love of a brother. We didn't do that in our family. We didn't love one another. We didn't hug one another. We didn't say, "I love you." We fought and cussed and fussed all the time. We weren't taught what love was. We was taught what survival was. And but that day I realized that God loved me so much, He let His Son die in my place. And that means Jesus loves me. And we sing that other song, "For I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me." That's your first step. And boy, hey, that relationship began that time. But listen, some of y'all, you maybe you walked down the aisle and you signed the card. You walked down the aisle and joined the church. Maybe you got baptized or something. I don't know. But unless you come to that first point that you realize that God loves you so much, He gave His Son to die for you, and you receive that as yours, not everybody's, but yours, you cannot be born again and have a relationship with God. You can't do it. These people say, well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm religious. They don't have a relationship with God. They have religion. They light candles. They chant chants. They worship statues or wear a crucifix or claim something that grandma taught them. I don't care who taught it to you. Until you come to realize you're a sinner and you deserve a devil's hell for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until that day you see Jesus as your Savior and receive Him as your Savior, you will not be born again. You will not go to heaven. And that's a fact according to the Bible. That's not the Baptist telling you that. That's not a preacher telling you that. That's God says that. That's your first step. Christ for us. Boy, I'm glad He's for me, ain't you? Hey, I've had a lot of people against me. I thank God He's for me. Amen. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And some guy said one time, Jesus is the kind of friend that when everybody else walks out, He walks in. Amen. Amen. And then there comes another one after that. Galatians 2:20. After you realize that He's for you, He's not against you, He loves you, He doesn't hate you. Galatians 2:20. Turn over there. Excuse me. In verse 20, He says, not the things which... Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth, underline this, in me. In me. And the life which I now live, underline this, in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, I want you to realize this. First, you realize He's for you. And then once you receive Him as your Savior, here's the bigger picture. He is in you. That's the next step of the relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just Christ for you. The worst sinner in town knows He's for him. He just hadn't acknowledged it enough to receive Him. The worst drunk in town will tell you God loves you. All of them know John 3:16. But Christ is not in them. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Spirit of God moves in you. Now you're the temple of the living God. Real simple verse. We use it for, it's supposed to be about the church, but Revelation 3:20, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. You know what that means? If you come in to supper at my house, you must be going to stay. I'll invite you for lunch or something, but supper, now that's a different thing. And so what He's saying is, I'm going to live in there. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to eat with you. I'm not only going to be for you, I'm going to be in you. And that day, when you received Him as your personal Savior. Now, a lot of people, they'll try to skip number one and go straight to here. You know why? Because this part's what changes your life. This is the part that changes your life. When Jesus was for you and drawing you and calling you, here's what you said. I think I need to quit drinking. I'm going to quit drinking. That'll make me a better person. Or that'll make me a Christian. And then when He was for you and you realized He was for you and He was calling you, then you said, well, I'm going to quit cussing because stopping cussing will make me a better person. I'll be a Christian. No, that's not it. Those things happen after you realize He's for you and you invite Him in you. Then you're born again. You become 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all those old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. So you can't be a new creature to be a Christian. You receive Christ to be a Christian, and then Him in you makes you a new person, a new creature. When you get born again, I don't care what anybody tells you, and I don't believe people when they tell me. you don't quit things to be saved. You quit things because you are saved. I used to tell a preacher, he'd come by my house after I visited that church one time, thank God for a pastor that still cares about people enough to try to get them saved. Amen. Amen. He'd come to my house and said, boy, you need to get saved. You need to get born again. I said, preacher, when I quit lying and cussing and cheating and drinking all this stuff, running around this crowd, I'll come to your church and I'll get baptized and I'll be a Christian. And he'd say, boy, you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell because that's not what makes you a Christian. I said, I thought Christians didn't do all that. He said, they shouldn't, but some do. But that's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is receiving the love of God through Jesus Christ. You receive Him in you, and then you're born again, and He'll change your nature. You see, you won't have to quit that crowd. They'll quit you. He said, He'll change your desires. You won't have to quit that stuff. You just won't want it anymore. Amen. He said, I drink all the liquor I want to. I just don't want it anymore. Amen. He changes your want tos. He gives you a new life and a new desire. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, and I'm not going to wait on you. I got to hurry. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, he's saying, nobody else can tell you. Sometimes people call me and they'll say, so-and-so, started to say Joe, but we got Joe here today. That's an easy name to remember. So-and-so, put in an application, they put you down as a reference. I said, well, and they'll say, what can you tell me about him? I said, I can't tell you nothing but one day a week. What? He put you down as a reference. Will he work? Don't know. I can tell you if he comes to church regular. Is he a good guy? Is he honest? I said, I don't know. I can look up his giving record and tell you if he tithes. But I don't see him but once a week. I can't tell you if that man's a Christian or not. And nobody else can tell you whether you're a Christian or not. Only you know that. He said, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Not me. I can't tell you. Had a fellow come up here several times. He'd say, preacher, I think I need to get baptized again. I said, why? He said, well, I done started doing this and I'm doing that. And I said, baptism ain't going to change that. And then he came again later on. Well, preacher, ain't there a creek down here? I think I ought to get baptized in the creek like Grandma did. That'll fix. I said, that's not going to fix your problem. Your problem is you need to be born again. You'll get a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. Christ will be in you, not just for you. Amen? Now, he's for everybody, but he's not in everybody. Can I get amen on that? And even on church members, he's for everybody. He's glad you go to church, but that's not going to save you. He is not just for you. He wants to be in you, and you've got to invite him in. You know, I wasn't laying at home that night, one night, and all of a sudden a voice spoke to me out of heaven and said, I'm going to come in you, and I'm going to save you, and I'm going to change you. No, sir, he never did do that. I'd go to church, and that preacher would preach on something. He could be preaching on why plums turn red and be pointing right at me, or at least I felt like it, and I'd be here, and you need to get saved. Amen. Amen. He could be preaching on why the president's a crook. I don't know if new one is or not, but probabilities are high. But but he could be preaching on why the new president's a crook and be pointing over yonder, but I felt like he was pointing right at me, and here's what I heard. You need to get saved. You don't need to change. You need to get born again. And so Christ is for you, even church members, but he wants to be in you. Boy, when you realize when he's in you, that's when it will change your life. Amen. I met a lot of people say they're saved, but they are unhappy, they're unsatisfied, they are unchanged, and I just look at them and I think, well, Christ must not be in them. Amen? And I don't know, though. Only you know that. Now, when you realize this, that's when you'll experience some things that other believers experience. Have you ever looked at some Christian and said, boy, I wish I could be like that? You ever did that? I have. 1 Peter 2:4 says, 1 Peter 2:4. Turn there with me if you will. 1 Peter 1:8. I'm sorry. I lose my own place. I get so excited. Verse 8, he says, whom having not seen, ye love. in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Here it is. You realize who he is, and it changes your life, and you realize you're crucified with him, and you realize he lives in you, and there it is. You believe it, you receive it, and you act on it, and it changes your life. He's not just for you, now he's in you, and you cannot help but to be different. You can't help it. I told y'all that story that time about how I went to West Virginia to preach a funeral. Man, I was sick. I had the flu or something. My wife had to drive me, and we stopped at a motel to get a room up there. And I walked in that motel, you know, there at the desk, and right down the hall, there's one of those karaoke. Is that how you say it? Karaoke? Karaoke bar? Karaoke? I don't know. I got saved before they invented that. Drunks just sang out in the open when I was lost. They didn't have to go in the karaoke bar. And they sang with the radio in the car, you know. And didn't have to go hide to do it. But boy, I was sick, and I was up there paying. I'm about to go preach a funeral, and I've got to be real spiritual. And right down the hall, I heard this guy singing, you know. And he said, just a closer walk with thee. Precious Jesus, let it be. I thought to myself, that guy's drunk. He's down there in a bar drunk, singing gospel songs. Could it be the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh, and even though a backslider is where he ought not be and doing something he ought not do, the Christ in him is speaking out? You know what everybody in that bar thought? Get that guy down from there. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to hear that. Somebody get him down. Get him out of here. He ought to be down there at church. Because somehow what was in him was coming out because he had Christ in him, and you cannot deny it, and you can't get away from it. Even if you try, you're going to be like Peter, and you're going to end up confessing your sinfulness and coming back where you ought to be anyway. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's not you. It's not your church membership. And then look at Romans 13:14 real quick. Y'all running out of time. Romans 13:14. I got all day. Y'all running out of time. Romans 13:14. Look at it. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Man. Now, you see Christianity broader now. You're seeing more like a real Christian. See, people that are barely in, or they're not what they ought to be, they only see the first one, Christ for me. And then those that just got saved, or those who've been saved a long time, but they're not reading their Bible, they're not going to church, they're not going to Sunday school, they're not living a Christian life like they could, they don't have the victory, they know that Christ is in them. They can't escape that. But boy, here's a Christian right here, and it's Christ on us. Not just for us, not just in us, but Christ on us. Now, number two, Christ in us produces Christ on us. Number one won't do that. Just because you believe there's a Lord will not produce a Christian life. Just because you believe that God loves you will not produce good works. But Christ in you will, if you'll let it, produce Christ on you. Are y'all still with me? Am I getting too deep? Are you drowning? Some of you look like I lost you somewhere. I'm going to keep on preaching. We'll catch you at the invitation. Amen? But Christ on us. Now, everybody knows somebody that's lived in such a way that it made us think of Jesus Christ. Probably, are you listening? Probably everyone in this room, somebody comes to mind when I say that, that they lived a godly life and you saw it. And you probably thought, boy, if there ever was a Christian, there he is. If there ever was a Christian lady, there she is. Nod your head if you think so. Help me. Amen. We all have. Amen. Now, that man or woman didn't get that way simply because they believed Jesus was for them. They didn't even get that way when they invited Jesus in them. They got that way by continuing and realizing that He is on me as well as in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh is by Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you don't, but you will. One day you will. Have you ever heard this? They say, clothes make the man. You ever heard that? Clothes make the man. Now, it doesn't, but it sure makes him look better, don't it? Now, I can go over here to the hospital or down here at the jailhouse, and somebody made fun of me the other day because I don't have blue jeans anymore. Well, when I got saved, I quit being a hippie. I don't have any blue jeans. I got some khakis. But I can go over here to the jailhouse, over here to the hospital, and if I walk in there with an old T-shirt and a pair of khakis and old white tennis shoes, and I go up there to that counter, and I say, I want to see Ron Robinson. That woman looks at me and says, who you want to see? Who are you? You know. But boy, I can put on my suit. And I can walk in there, and they'll smile at me, and they'll say, can I help you? That's the truth. And I tell people in my church all the time, I'll try to never embarrass you as my church member. I went to see somebody in the hospital one day, and their pastor, he wasn't my church member, but I was going to go see him. But his pastor came walking out of the room and down the hall, and he had on old baggy blue jeans hanging down too far, and he had on a old flannel shirt with the shirt tail hanging out, and he bought it too big. The sleeves were way down there, and the tails were way down there, and he come walking down through there, you know, and he's got that clergy tag on. If it wasn't for the tag, you never would have known he was a preacher. Amen? And I'm not saying that makes you a Christian, but I'm saying what's on the inside will come out. It will manifest itself. It will show itself. If you have Christ in you and you're living like you ought to, people will see Christ on you. You ever heard this about somebody? I know you have, Brother Billy. I've heard it. You've heard it. Some of us heard it. If that's a Christian, the woods is full of them. And I know that's not proper English. That's just the way they say it. Write that down. Oh, he's still playing the piano. He writes down my Southern stuff. He's writing a book on Southern sayings that I say. But if that's a Christian, the woods is full of them. That's what they're saying. Well, they ought to be saying, boy, if that's a Christian, hey, there ain't many of them. I'd like to be one like that. I've never been successful at anything in my life. Up till I was 21, the best thing I ever did was marry a woman. That right there. That's the best thing ever happened to me. Amen. All these women saying, that's right. Some of you men kind of quiet now. You better say amen if your wife's with you. Amen. And then I had children. Thank God for my children. Boy, they'll change a man. Children will change a man. If he wants to be changed. But then you know what though? The greatest thing ever happened to me at the age of 23 years, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That day I realized that he was for me. And that day I asked him, I admitted him, I received him into me. And since then I wanted him to be on me. I want others to see Christ in me and on me. People say, well, you can't judge people by their appearances. You can't. They may be having a bad time. But you ought to be able to sometime. Amen. Come on. Don't get quiet on me now. You ought to be able to judge sometime by the way people act, shouldn't you? Amen. If a man's cussing and fussing all the time, I'd say he's got cussing and fussing in his heart. Amen. Come on. Help me, fellas. We'll have Christ on us. That's the ultimate Christian life right there. Christ on us. That is a mature Christian. But we can't have Christ on us until He's in us. And then that will be letting Him work out of us. Sometimes when people tell me, they'll say, Pastor, you know, I can't do much, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. What should I do? I say, you do what the Spirit tells you to do, what the Word of God tells you to do. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Do you want to have, all right, you got number one right, you know he's for you. You got number two right. If you're saved, you've invited him in you. Wouldn't you like to have him on you? You know, when we as Christians walk into a room, Christ is supposed to walk on us in there.
Amen.
He didn't float in a cloud of smoke behind you. He came with you, see. People say, well, we gather down to the church and we invite the Holy Spirit to come help us worship. No, sir, the Holy Spirit was already there. You just allowed him to work through you, that's all. And it's the same way with the Christian life. If you want him to people to see him on you, all you do is submit to him. I never had a father, so I can't say this about me, but maybe you can. Have you ever heard anybody look at you and say, Ron, you're just like your father? You ever heard that? Whether it was good or bad, but you heard that. You know why? Because his father's in him. He was born of his father. That natural birth does wrong. We're born in sin. So he needed a supernatural birth so that they would quit seeing that father and see his heavenly father on him. Wouldn't it be good if we could just walk in a room one day and say, somebody look around and say, I think Jesus just walked in. I failed him. Many times I'll preach funerals and I'll go to the house before the funeral. People that don't have a pastor, they don't have a church, and they'll call me. And I told somebody the other day, I went to see him, and the woman come, there's another man answered the door I didn't know, another woman come running to the door, let him in, that's my pastor, and she hugged my neck and drug me in there and told everybody, this is my pastor, this is Pastor Ron. I said, I wish everybody that called me pastor like you and I hadn't seen in 2 or 3 years at church would come to church. I said, we'd have to build a bigger church. But whenever she did that, they run around putting out cigarettes and hiding things, you know, and putting, you know. And it wasn't me they were afraid of. It was who came with me and on me. And I'll do funerals, you know, and I'll walk in. Hey, look, if you let Christ be on you and in you, I walk in these rooms and these people are eat up with grief and regret and hurt and pain because this loved one's just died and they don't know if they went to heaven or not, and I don't either. But I can walk in that room, and as soon as I walk in that room, everything will get quiet and people will put their cigarettes out and hide their beer and they'll quit hollering and fussing and they'll get quiet. You know why? Because the preacher's here, they think that's Christ on me. That's all they see. They see Christ on me. They don't know me. If they knew me, they probably wouldn't like me so well. But because of Christ on me, things change. Now, as a Christian, you know he's for you. And you know now that you've been saved, he's in you. Why don't you let people see him on you? You know, if we let Christ be on us, we'd have a whole lot less fussing. We'd have a whole lot less regret. And then last, Acts chapter 1. I know it's 1 minute till. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The Presbyterians are already saying amen. The Methodists are lining up at the door to shake hands. The Baptists are still at church. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Of course, the Bible says those that are first to be last and last to be first. So when the trumpet sounds, amen. Acts chapter 1. Some of y'all didn't get that. You'll get it while you're eating. Verse 11, Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now we got Christ for us. We have Christ in us. We have Christ on us. And now, one day, thank God, hallelujah, jump a pew, have a fit. We're going to have Christ with us. Now we look through a glass darkly right now. We see it. It ain't all clear through the Word of God, the Spirit of God. We see Christ. We've got a picture of Him in our mind and in our heart. But they stood there and those angels looked at those desperate disciples and they were heartbroken. Here's Jesus. He's rising up into heaven, right off the ground, up into the clouds. And these angels said, "Hey, fellas, why are you standing around here? Why are you looking so sad? This same Jesus that's going up into those clouds is coming back the same way he left. And one day he's coming back in all his glory and the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ will rise first and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air." Amen? And boy, I'm looking forward to that. Better than Christ for us on the cross. That's better than Christ in us dwelling there. That's better than Christ on us for others to see. The best relationship for the believer will be John 14. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Christ with us. You see, I don't have a dead religion. That statue people's worshiping, thinking that's God, that statue's not going to be with them in death. Those religious ceremonies that they practice, when they die, that ceremony's not going with them. That poor, deceived little Muslim boy at 14, 15 years old that straps explosives to his chest and runs into a bunch of Jews or Gentiles to blow them up in the name of Allah. When he leaves that name, nothing about that name's going with him. There is no Allah. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am a Father of one." Amen? We have a living Savior. And not only is for us and in us and on us, but one day He's going to be with us. And I don't know about you, and I'm cutting this real short. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, that is the ultimate Christian experience, is when we are in the presence of a holy God and we finally get to see our Savior face to face. You say, "Preacher, I'm scared of dying." Well, I'll tell you what. If you look at the ultimate victory of the Christian life as being with Jesus Christ, you have nothing to fear. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we," right now are we "the sons of God." We're not going to be. We are. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're already children of God. "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." We don't know what we're going to look at. We talk about it. We suppose. We read Scripture. We try to get a picture of it. But we really don't know yet. We don't know what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear. Boy, I like this. This makes me want to do a Pentecostal dance. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now that's the last stage of the Christian life. Look at that next verse. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Preacher won't have to beat you up if you're thinking about going to be with Jesus. Boy, you tell people they're going to die, they get things cleaned up real quick. Amen. They quit everything but chewing gum. You tell people they go, the doctor says you got 6 months to live. Boy, they start calling and apologizing and making right with things and giving stuff away and being nice to people and going to church and getting baptized and everything else. You know why? They know, even a sinner knows, one day you've got to face God. And it's a terrifying experience. It's a scary thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But thank God, because He's for me and He's in me and He's on me, one day I have the assurance that I'm going to be with Him and He's going to be with me. Amen? I don't fear the judgment. I have no fear. He's paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You say, Pastor, this all sounds crazy. Not if you know Him. Not if you know Him. It's not crazy. The whole story is Christ for us on the cross. Christ in us is indwelling peace and love. Christ on us, our daily walk with Christ, the way we live. And Christ with us in all His glory and all His power. Now don't think of Him as that little baby you fix and celebrate the birth of. Think of Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Coming back in all His glory and all His splendor as not just King of the church, but King of the universe. Creator of everything that's ever been created. Listen, sustainer of everything that's ever been made. And He's coming back in all that authority and all that glory and all that splendor. And you know what? When you realize these four things, you know what you'll hear? Enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. Ain't that what we want to hear, Christian? Now, if you're not saved today, or maybe you're just a church member or a baptism candidate or something like that, you may not understand this, but if you're saved, this ought to make you shout. Amen. This ought to make you praise God. This ought to make us live better and look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. The Syrians getting nuclear weapons. The Iranians probably already got them. Israel's got so many now they can't count them. China's getting them. Russia's got them. We got them. Pakistan's got them. Preacher, ain't you worried about the world blowing up and us all melting? No, sir. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. The worst thing you can do is kill me and I go straight to heaven. Help yourself. You're not going to threaten me with heaven. Just do it quick. I can't take pain. Just do it quick. Are you ready? You know He's for you. You know He's in you. You know He's on you. Do others know He's on you? Are you looking to be with Him? Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God that never changes, never fails.